Okay, everybody. Good evening. This is Michael Watson. It is what month is this? It's the August meeting of the virtual chapter of IACT IMDHA, and we're happy that you're on the line with us. Number of exciting things coming up, and I would just like to make a couple sort of official announcements. One of them is to let you know that because we are, in fact, the virtual chapter of IACT IMDHA, if you're a member of either of those organizations, you can get CEUs for participating in this call and listening. And the way that you do that is to go to the either IACT or IMDHA, whichever one is appropriate for you, to their website and to log in as a member. And, you know, your information comes up, your account information comes up, and you can just put in there that, you know, the CEUs for tonight, for give yourself an hour for it and indicate that you're at the virtual chapter, and that's all it takes to get it documented, and that'll take care of that for you. And I also want to mention that next month, just 1 month from, next month's meeting, will be on the 8th of September. It's the day after Columbus Day, on that evening, we're going to have Jess Marion. Some of you may have met Jess at the Hypno Expo. She's associated with Sean and Sarah Carson. Jess has started the Philadelphia Hypnosis in 2010, and then in 2012 she affiliated herself with Sean and Sarah and works through the NLP through NLP Training New York. And she's one of only 25 people that are certified to teach Igor Ludakowski's Conversational Hypnosis Certification Program. So she's going to be quite an exciting guest. She has co-authored 7 books, and among them, a couple things that I especially want to talk to her about is they wrote a book called Deep Trance Identification, something that I had done some work in a few years ago, and they asked me to write the foreword to it, which I was really happy to do. It's an exciting book, and they're coming out with a companion manual to that book, which, from what I understand, is going to be full of exercises and all sorts of exciting things. So I want to ask her what they've been doing about that, and we'll have quite a chat about it. Also, they have another book coming out. The DTI book, I know, is going to be out like in the next couple of weeks, the companion manual, and shortly down the line behind that is a really cool book. It's called Hypnosis Games for Hypno Junkies, it looks like it's going to be exciting. It'll be a whole lot of exercises, I guess, from what I understand. So I'm anxious to talk to her, and I hope that you will join us for the call that night. It'll be the same telephone number, the same login that that you've been using this evening. And tonight we are just thrilled to have Roger Moore on the line with us. I have to keep reminding people that it's not the guy from the James Bond movies.
It's the Saint.
Besides, and the Saint, yeah. Roger is up in Seattle. We've known him for a lot of years, and we're so happy to have him here. He is, by the way, he's been a member of IMDHA since 1997. And he is a recipient of the Penn and Quill Award for his book, Becoming Slender for Life. We're going to talk just a little bit about that tonight. And darn it, because I'm looking at my computer, right, there we go. But tonight his topic is neuroplasticity and medical hypnosis. And what I'd like to say by way of introduction is that Roger started studying and integrating neuroplasticity into his medical hypnosis practice about 5 years ago. And as a result, this revolutionized his practice, and clients began reporting significant changes. So today, Roger's weight loss and pain control and autoimmune disease, cancer, irritable bowel syndrome, fibromyalgia, depression, anxiety, and other health and wellness sessions are based on the concept that the brain can be rewired at any age, resulting in greater health and wellness. So that's who we've got on the line for you tonight, and we're so happy that you're here. Welcome, welcome, Roger. It's good to have you on the call.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's great to be here.
And I'll tell you, Roger, I've got a question just to start out with and to kick things off. Now that it's 2015, we made a change. And last year, I was always asking people on these calls, the first question that I asked them was, what was it that first sparked your interest in hypnosis? And I'm not going to ask you that question now, because now we have the second tier to the same question. I'm a little curious, not only what sparked your interest, but what is it about hypnosis and about doing the work that you do that keeps you engaged and keeps you excited about it? That's my question.
Well, Michael, I kind of feel like almost a dinosaur anymore when it comes to to how long I've been around with hypnosis, because I started reading a hypnosis book when I was working a all-night drug hotline in Colorado Springs when I was in high school. And that's when I first got interested in hypnosis. It wasn't, and I studied it for lots of years, and I used it for years with clients, but it wasn't until 1996 that I actually got certified. But what keeps me interested is I love people's stories and hearing people's stories and how we live our stories. And so I hear people telling me over and over how they can't do this or they can't do this or this is what I always do. And, you know, they're giving themselves those powerful hypnotic suggestions and continuing to fire those old neurons. With hypnosis, you know, I show them how easy it is to create a whole new story, to write a new script, and be different and do different and live different. And that's when when I start seeing the real change and the powerful change, and people get excited about it. And so seeing them excited and having fun with it and becoming different and being different, that's what keeps me going. It keeps me interested and gets me back in the office every day.
Lovely. And you know, Roger, I know at the beginning, I think a number of folks on the call may know a little bit about your history. One of the things that I know is that somewhere back in your history, and I don't have the details about it, but that you accomplished an incredible weight loss, and that really became an important part of your work. I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I grew up in a family where food is love, and on a dairy farm, and one of those things where anytime there was anger, fear, sadness, good times, bad times, it was always here, have a cookie, go play. Grew up the fat, chubby kid, seventh grade, so overweight, I got a medical excuse to get out of PE, never had a gym class after that, they should have had me in there three times a day. Young adult, total couch potato, very physically inactive, hated the sweat. I could diet, I could do deprivation. But as soon as, when I dieted, I could lose weight. But as soon as the diet stopped, I always put as much or more weight back on. And about 20 years ago, I had about 115 pounds more on me than I do today. And it was actually with Topher Morris and my basic hypnosis training that I volunteered to be the subject for a weight loss demonstration. But here is this young kid, you know, Topher at that time.
Yeah.
Back then he was Wayne Morrison, was going to show me that I could take weight off and keep it off. And as much as I believed in hypnosis, I just didn't believe it would ever be possible for me and my weight. So I went up there to prove him wrong. And it was kind of like a screw you type attitude, you know, this not-nosed kid type of approach. I mean, that was my whole attitude on it. I started noticing over the next couple of weeks that I was eating slower and I would stop eating and have food left on my plate, which were two totally different behaviors. So I did several more sessions with him and took the weight off and kept it off ever since. And that's when I got passionate about helping people take weight off and keep it off. And I went from being a couch potato to I've ran five marathons. Now I'm a long distance cyclist, and you know, think nothing to get on my bike and riding 100 miles, or the most I've ridden in one day is 204 miles. But you know, I'm just always out in the gym or out in the mountains hiking or on the road on my bike. So it's a complete change in lifestyle for me, and I'm just really passionate about helping people take the weight off, and again, most importantly, keeping it off. It's not about getting to your goal weight, it truly is about staying there.
Yeah. Now, you wrote your book, and I'm sorry, I've just flipped the page, and the title's escaping me. Slender for Life, or
Becoming Slender for Life.
Becoming Slender for Life. Is that for, does that have protocols in it, or is it for people wanting to lose weight,
no,
or is it for therapy?
It's written for clients.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a guide for people who are going through the process. Starts out with a welcome introduction, talks about mental and emotional eating, stress eating, healthy eating, exercise. And the last two chapters, there's eight chapters, the last two chapters focus on, again, what I consider the most important part, which is staying slender for the rest of your life. And how to do that, and what are the obstacles and the roadblocks to doing that, and you know, back even before weight or obesity was considered an addiction, I always considered it the most difficult addiction to work with, because I can send somebody out my office door after one session and stop smoking and have them be smoke-free for the rest of their life, but those of us with food issues, we don't have the luxury of never eating.
Right.
And so forever we're dealing with the sights, the sounds, the smells, the tastes, the social, cultural, holiday, religious aspects of food. And if it were as simple as never eating again, it wouldn't be such a big deal. But you can imagine telling your stop smoking clients that, oh, yeah, for survival, you have to have 3 puffs a day and a cigarette. Well, they'd be back to their pack a day in no time. So that's why I've always considered it the most difficult addiction to work with. And my original training, actually, back in the early 70s, was in drugs and alcohol. And so I've always had that kind of the back of my mind, and, you know, the framework from where I come from is drug and alcohol addiction, and some ways approached weight loss from that perspective.
Yeah, no, I was focusing on drugs and alcohol in the early 70s myself, but probably should have been a client of yours at that time. I'm wondering, Roger, how is your book available on Amazon, or how can people get it?
They can go to my website, hypnosishealthinfo.com. And it's available there as an ebook, or they can also get the paperback version.
Mm-hmm.
This fall, I'm starting a licensee subscription program. Right now, we're filming the training protocol, the training sessions, and recording those. And getting it set up to where it's going to be a very affordable and very a workable system, at least I hope. There'll be some kinks, I'm sure, to work out along the way, but getting a program set up for where people can get licensed to use the name Slender for Life and use the protocols, and that should hopefully in the next 60 days I'll have that all finalized and set up and running.
Oh, nice! Great. We'll be looking forward to seeing that. And in fact, I'll make a note here to check into it. And when it's ready, I'll be sure and announce it here on the group as well, so that people can
excellent.
Find it.
Thank you.
So I understand, Roger. Part of the reason that I decided to chat with you and wanted to interview you on this call is that I understand that you teach a medical hypnosis specialty certification or specialty program that's been approved recently by IMDHA, and I'd love to hear what you can tell us about that, or for wherever it is you'd like to go with it. Neuroplasticity, of course, being a topic that is dear to you. So that was the thing that got my attention first when I saw it, and I love the description of what we want to talk about. So I'm just going to kind of back off a little bit and invite you to share with us about any of those things that you like.
And how many days do we have to do that?
Yeah, really. Well, and as a matter of fact, the last 10 minutes, just to give you a heads up, at about 20 minutes, really, we're going to open up the lines for questions. Actually, the
okay.
lines are open right now, so if you'll give me a minute, I'm gonna mute the outside lines, and. There we go. That's happened now. So everybody is muted, hopefully, except for you and I. You're still there, aren't you, Roger?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good, good. Wanted to make sure you called in on the right number. So take it away, and in about 10 minutes until the hour, we'll open up the lines again in case people have some questions for you.
And Michael, feel free to jump in and ask questions as I go along. Okay.
All right.
Well, Melissa Roth and I created a two-day medical hypnosis class that we held here in Seattle in March and in Boulder in April. And those sessions are on video recording, and they're not all edited yet, but some point in time in the next few months, I will have them all edited, and we'll figure out just how we're going to put those up for people to watch and participate in. But in addition to those 2 days of medical hypnosis training, we also offered medical hypnosis coaching, which has, to me, been just really exciting, and it's been absolute great fun. We meet once a month, and it's online, and you know, it's all video. And the first month we had Kelly Woods. That was back in January. Actually, our first session in January, we had two sessions. We had a trial run, a test run with Kelly Woods in January, where she talked about functional hypnosis as modern hypnosis. And then later in January, the first official session was with Scott Sandlin. And he talked about being an on-staff hypnotist and how to actually go in and work in a drug and rehab center, or work in a dental office, or in my case, I work in cancer centers, and how to do that and relate with the staff, and how to get your foot in the door and do's and don'ts for doing that. In February, we had Norm Shealy, who talked about turning back the clock on aging. In March, we had Connie Ray Andreas, and she talked about a breakthrough in mindfulness, a new path to well-being and resolving issues. April, we had Sherry Hood from north here from BC, maternity care and birthing. In May, we had Richard Nongard, and he talked about an issue that to me was extremely important, and we've gotten a lot of very positive feedback on, which was sexuality, aging, and illness. Because, you know, I work a lot with folks that are living with cancer and autoimmune diseases, and they're going through, you know, the cancer folks, they're going through chemo and radiation. And so the issue then comes up of, well, what about sex? And, you know, how do, as the body ages, you know, we can't do this, the positions that we used to do, but we still want to have sex, or one of the partners is going through chemo and radiation, and you know, how to meet sexual needs and what are sexual needs, and how to explore and discuss that with the clients, and then the issues of once they've gone through chemo, radiation, gone through cancer, they're now on the road to health and wellness. There's often, you know, from the partner, a fear around having sex because they don't want to hurt their partner, and just all the mental emotional issues with that. So that was a fascinating conversation.
Right.
And June, I'm sorry, Michael. What?
No, I just said sure. It was just an exclamation. Go right ahead.
Okay. And then in June, we had Bernie Siegel healing from cancer. Last month, we had Judith Simon Prager on verbal first aid, what to say when every second counts, and how to prevent PTSD. We had coming up here in a couple weeks, we have John Butler on pain control. And September, we're going to have Michael Elmer, and he's going to talk modeling our medical hypnosis practices utilizing the family medicine specialty model. October, we have Brian Hooper, who's going to talk about the four pillars of universal spirituality and their clinical application. November, we got Dan Cleary, Living with Pain, Loving Your Crazy Cousin. And last but certainly not least, Michael, we have you, non-invasive hypnosis and a unique ideomotor technique for healing. And the way it works is we're all online, and generally it's Melissa and myself and the guests that are visual and that are have our cameras on. And the guest talks roughly 60 minutes, sometimes more. The sessions are 90 minutes. We almost always go over. And then there's time for questions and answers. And it's just been a really fascinating opportunity to learn and learn from a whole variety of people. And I certainly learned every single month. And we do it by the quarter, so... And we said we weren't going to let people in once the quarter started, but every quarter so far we've done that and let them in, and they can watch the recording of the previous session. And but the next quarter will start in October, and that will be with Brian Hooper, Dan Cleary, and Michael Watson. So that's just been a great opportunity, not only for Melissa and for myself, but for all the participants. We have participation worldwide. And at some point in time next year, these sessions will be available. And I'm not sure individually or in groups or what we're going to do, but they will be available for so people can learn from the recordings as well, because they all have been recorded and preserved. So that's been an exciting thing. And then from there, I'm not sure where we're going. I'm planning some sort of ongoing coaching classes with medical hypnosis in 2016 that will be online. And we're still working on all those details.
That's wonderful. In fact, the internet has done so much for us, and I can remember I've been doing this for 30 some years now, and I think when I started, I don't even know for sure if I had a PC. Maybe not. So now, I just recently took a course from Bill O'Hanlon, who's one of the great Ericksonians. That was all online, and we have access to so much more and so much wonderful material. So we're just thrilled that you're putting this stuff out there. And it's all the information about this for people wanting to get involved in your programs. Is all of this available on hypnosishealthinfo.com?
Yeah, or if they go to rogermooreinstitute.com.
Now, is that named after the guy in the James Bond movies? Or
It is, yes. 007.com. RogerMooreInstitute.com. Yeah.
Okay. Great. All right. So maybe we can bridge over into interesting choice of words, into this notion of neuroplasticity that I know that you're excited about. And see what you have to tell us about that.
Well, everyone's probably familiar with Hedlaw and the whole concept of neurons that fire together, wire together. And, that if we're thinking the same old thoughts and having the same old emotions that go with this, or goes with those thoughts. You know, if I'm living my life from a place of I'm a schmuck, and I take that on as my belief system, my identity, my limiting belief about myself, it's like when you learn to drive, you know, you stick the key in the ignition and you turn the starter on for the first time and hopefully don't grind the starter, and you put your foot in the brake and you take it out of park into reverse and hopefully you don't create whiplash, and, you know, and turn the wheel and hit the garage walls, and you got to put your foot in the brake and put it in drive and turn the turn signals. It's all very frontal lobe, new brain, conscious thought. But anybody that drove today, if you still have a car that has keys, you don't even remember hitting the key fob, or if you got a keyless car, you just walked up to the car and opened the door and pushed the starter button, and you didn't consciously think about putting your foot in the brake when the car in front of you had their brake lights on. You just did it. It went from conscious, you know, the frontal lobe to the lizard brain, the old brain, and became automatic. You know, the servant drove the master, the body, you know, drove you to wherever you went today. And so using that concept of how we operate and how so much of what we do is unconscious, if I've taken on the concept of I'm a schmuck, it's not a conscious thought that I do. It's just my identity, it's my lizard brain, it's how I live my life, it's my view of life, it's how I see things, how I operate, and the emotions that I create with that. And, you know, and our emotions, you know, are a record of our past, and if I'm living from that place of I'm not good enough and not enough, and carry those emotions of shame and sadness along with that, then my body's living in the past and creating all the, you know, the toxins that come from that. But, you know, neuroscience shows us that at any age we can fire and wire new neurons. We can change our thoughts and we can change our being. And a concept that I've stolen from Joe Dispenza is the whole idea of the greatest expression of yourself, or the greatest power of self, and, you know, and I have people literally sit and write, and email it to me or bring it to me, what would be the greatest expression of themselves? How would they be walking? How would they be talking? How would they be thinking? How would they be loving? How would they be living? And bring in the joy and the emotion of that, and anchor that, and have them repeat it, mentally rehearse it often enough so that that becomes their new way of being. And one way that I conceptualize it for myself, and I share this with clients frequently, is that what part of my morning prayer meditation is, God, just let me be the person, the man that my dog thinks I am. If I can be that person today, then, hey, you know, I'm going to be doing pretty darn good. And if I can live that joyfully, live that happily, live in that place of unconditional love and acceptance, I'm going to have a good day. And things, I'm not going to get freaked out and stressed out about things. I'm not going to get upset about things. I'm going to be able to be mindful and be totally in this moment, and not get all caught up in, well, what about this and what about that of the future, or living in the past of I'm not important or not good enough. And, you know, all it takes is a thought to freak us out, to create, a stress response from the past, a learned stress response, and our body then, you know, it's like being chased by the saber-toothed tiger. We immediately go into that mode of being chased, even though we're, you know, sitting here at the computer. And, but, you know, we're not running, but our body is producing the exact same toxins as if we were really being chased, and it was purely a thought that got us there. So I talk a lot about imagination, and you can either imagine you're being chased by a tiger or that you're playing with a puppy. You know, it's all imagination. It's your choice.
Nice. I have this idea, and I think you just kind of said it in there. Something that I often say from time to time is that you're only one thought away from typically I say you're only one thought away from peace or from wellness or from wholeness, you know, at any given time. And in the same sense, of course, as you're saying, you're only one thought away from anxiety or terror or, you know, it's really a question of how you're running it. So it's a lovely frame and a very useful one. I'm wondering, Roger, it seems as though from the description that offered at the beginning of the hour that neuroplasticity is really only something that you kind of got involved with about 5 years ago or so, started integrating it into your practice. And what I'm wondering is, what have you sort of stopped doing as a result of these new understandings that you used to do, or what is it that you did differently than what you were doing in the past as you became more conversant with these ideas?
I don't know that I've necessarily, I guess the thing that I never do anymore, I never do any regression or anything like that, but I haven't done that for lots of years. You know, and when I do a lot of work with folks that have post-traumatic stress, you know, I always talk with them and promote post-traumatic growth. Okay, yep, that happened. That horrible tragedy happened. This trauma happened. What are the learnings? And go forward and build on it and create a new definition around it. Use it as a source of strength rather than being stuck in it. But for me, what reading and studying neuroplasticity did was suddenly all kinds of things started making sense to me. You know, I grew up in a real strict Baptist church and even went to Bible college my first 2 years of undergraduate. And as I started reading neuroscience, I went, oh my goodness, this is biblical. You know? And then as I, you know, started, you know, kept reading and I actually had the privilege and had no idea at the time whose feet I was sitting at, but some of my early chemical dependency training was with Virginia Satir. And,
wow.
You know, and the experiences I had with her and the family dynamics and I went, oh my goodness, this is what she was doing. And then things that I learned in NLP that I never quite grasped, suddenly they made sense. So yeah. For me, neuroplasticity helped create a cement, a foundation for me, a deeper understanding. And, it's a place that, if you're familiar with the movie What the Bleep, on my iPad, I have about 6 minutes, where they talk about addictions. And I have that on my iPad, and probably 95% of my clients get handed my iPad at some point in time in our work together, and I say, here, watch this. Because it's exactly what they're talking about. And then we go from there and it just helps them have a deeper understanding of how rooted their thoughts and their emotions are and how it has become hardwired. And also, you know, when you literally have an addiction to stress, and now some weird guy, gray-haired guy is sitting here trying to tell you to be mindful and relax, and you start trying to do that, well, then the body's not producing the stress chemicals that it's become addicted to, and then the body starts going into withdrawal, and it gets even crazier. And when folks can grasp that concept of, yeah, they may have a few moments of, or a few times of discomfort in their wellness process as their body's trying to adjust to this new concept, and still come out on the other side, that's true greatness, is when you can allow yourself to be in the fear, to be in the anger, and acknowledge that's what this is, and also move on. That's greatness. So those things get me excited when I see people doing that. And I do a lot of, I have people get in touch with their bodies a lot. Yeah, when they're talking about their hurt, their pain, their anger, their guilt, their shame, whatever it is, well, where do you feel that's in your body?
Yeah.
And have them describe that. And then at some point in time, I get them talking about something that creates joy. And I just watch until I can see the shift in the color of their skin and their eyes sparkle and they start giggling and lighting up and their breathing changes and their whole body comes alive. Then I have them note that and we really anchor in on that and teach them how to recognize, oh, there's that old fear. I feel it in the pit of my stomach. And so there's that. So now I can shift to the joy in my heart and move on. So those are the things that I've learned from neuroplasticity and have incorporated in the practice that have just made a huge difference in cancer and autoimmune disease, weight loss, pain control, pretty much across the board. Even in relationship counseling. I still do some traditional relationship counseling, and I'm talking neuroplasticity there.
Yeah. By the way, are you available to do private sessions on Skype and stuff for people that aren't in your area?
I use Adobe Connect, which is a more secure platform than Skype, and I can pull in videos and PowerPoint and those types of things. But the answer to your question is yes, I have clients in several states and several countries, and so yes.
Great, excellent.
I also coach hypnotherapists in several states and several countries as well. Do one-on-one coaching online.
Right, and again, people can find information about that. Cast me out and see if I got it at either hypnosishealthinfo.com or at rogermoreinstitute.com. So if anybody on
best
the line is looking for a... Go ahead.
The best way to send me
best
an email.
Send you an email. Okay, well, what's your email address, Roger?
roger@hypnosishealthinfo.com.
Oh, okay, of course. Roger@hypnosishealthinfo.com. Cool. Now, I'm looking at my clock, and I see that it is already, gosh, the time just flies when you're talking with interesting people about great stuff. But I think it would be appropriate if you're ready to see if anybody has some questions here. I'm going to open up the lines. All right, so now we're in Q&A mode, and what that means is that all of the people on the phone are still muted, but if you would like to ask Roger a question, if you press *6, that will take you off of mute. So feel free to just do that and give us a shout-out, let us know who's talking, and ask Roger your question. Be brave.
Hi, this is Chris in Denver. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, great. Thank you for the talk tonight. And I wanted you to know that I'm kind of new to the medical hypnosis, and I don't know much about this neuroplasticity. And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions on how to maybe learn more about this.
If you go to Amazon and search neuroplasticity, and up will come a host of books, but Joe Dispenza would be a great resource, and if his work, And certainly, actually, Bernie Siegel would be another one that I would urge you to take a look at. While he doesn't necessarily talk specifically about neuroplasticity, it's along the same lines. Those would be some great options. I'm also going to have sometime this fall, winter, a neuroplasticity online coaching session.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much, Roger.
You betcha. You betcha.
Lovely. Somebody else? There it comes. Sometimes they're a little timid for hypnotists. That's kind of amazing. But Roger is here to take your questions. I might, while y'all are figuring out what you want to ask him, I might also mention that a number of you are familiar with Melissa Tears and Sean Carson, and they put together some good material on neuroplasticity as well. And I think you can find their book on Amazon.com. So you might check there for that as well.
That's excellent. Yes. While we're waiting, Michael, if I can put in a plug.
Yeah.
If I can put in a plug, Michael, in October, here in Seattle, Richard Nongard and I are going to do a 2-day workshop on performance. 1 day is going to be on sports performance and 1 day on academic performance. But overall, it's all about performance and whether it's, you know, performance with weight loss or performance with a sport or public speaking or singing or whatever it might be. And that's also going to involve neuroplasticity both days there as well. Because my fun is working with high school boys lacrosse team. And I do a lot of neuroplasticity stuff with them. So we'll be talking about that.
Nice. And you said that's in October?
Yes, October, I think it's the 11th and 12th.
In Seattle, yes?
In Seattle, yeah. And then it'll be worldwide online.
Great. Oh, great. It's going to be streaming.
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. All right. So I'm going to be in London in October. So is it going to be available afterwards? Are you recording? And,
yes. Yeah, it'll be recorded and available afterwards, as well as you can attend any or all of it live online or in Seattle, but everybody will get access to the recordings.
Oh, that'll be great. Okay, we've got time for one more question. If anybody wants to get in on the line, star 6.
Hello, this is Christine. Can you hear me?
Yes, hi, Christine.
Yes, hi, Christine.
Hi, I'm calling you from Michigan. My question for you is, when you're working with clients using neuroplasticity, do you talk about it in the terms of neuroplasticity, or do you just work the process with them?
I talk with them about neuroplasticity. I use those words. And some people recognize it and know what it is. Most people have no clue. But they get excited about it. Maybe because I'm excited about it. It makes sense to them, and they lock in on it and learn how they've lived their life in the past and how they can create a new future, that their future can be greater than their past.
Mm-hmm. Do you also recommend for them, do they want to do research on the topic with you, or are they happy just to work with you knowing that you know about the topic? What do you find in that context?
Once in a while, somebody pleasantly surprises me and tells me that, you know, they've been reading more on their own, or they got one of the books that I recommended. Most people seem to just go with what I tell them.
Mm-hmm.
which is always, I find, fascinating. But because I can tell them the sky is green, and, you know. But once in a while, somebody will pleasantly surprise me and come in with a tidbit or something that shows me they've been reading and looking up. And that's always fun, too, because then we have more depth to go in and place to talk from.
I certainly have appreciated the resources that you've recommended. I know that I have touched on this a little bit with clients that I've worked with, and I've also found them to be really receptive, but I appreciate hearing what your experience is with that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Something that I really liked in your response there, Roger, is you said that they get excited about it because maybe because you're excited about it. I'll tell you what, you know, I'm such a believer in the power of the hypnotic relationship and or the therapeutic relationship, and your excitement about it certainly shines through. And we really want to let you know that we appreciate all of the great offerings and how much it is that you are contributing to the community of hypnotists. So great resources, lovely stuff. I want to just remind everybody you can get in touch with Roger by writing him at roger@hypnosishealthinfo.com or visit his website, hypnosishealthinfo.com or rogermoreinstitute.com. Either of those will work. And just a couple things to remind you here at the end. I'm sorry I'm wrapping us up because we're on a clock here, but I want to remind you that next month, again, Jess Marion will be with us, and she's going to be talking about some exciting developments with deep trance identification and some new material that they're introducing. And get your CEUs if you're a member of IACT and IMDHA just by going out to the website and logging in and, you know, letting them know that that you were here on this call. So please do that. And with that, I just really want to tell you thank you so much, Roger. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Time flies like an arrow and fruit flies like a banana. And this time has gone by so very, very quickly. So it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and hope to have another chat with you again real soon.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's been my honor.
Great. All right. Well, lovely talking.
Thank you,
and,
everybody.
Thank you so much, everybody on the call. And do join us next month. It'll be the 8th of September. Same time, same bat channel, same dial-in number and everything else. So we'll look forward to that and hear you all then.
Thank you
so
much.
Good night.
Thanks. Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks,
Have a
Michael.
Great night.
Thanks, Roger.
Yes,
bye-bye.
You too.